plagued a potential nugget.
So Vedika, moving on, maybe picking up the thread at ICICI.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, the one thing that ICICI is known for is for having played a key role in creating so many women leaders.
Mm-hmm.
As you reflect back on your first 9 years, any themes that come up in terms of what was it about the culture which enabled this to happen?
That's a question which has been asked several times, and it's been debated, as mm-hmm. you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been thinking about it, and I don't think I can come up with a secret sauce,
right,
except these few things, and which we took as a matter of course.
Mm-hmm.
What were they? So first, there were just a lot of women around in ICICI. So there were a lot of women at my level when I entered, but there were also many senior women.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, there were women with kids, with families, who were working at responsible positions, leadership positions. If you remember Lalita Gupte, you know, there were several of them.
Right.
So I think that is a very subliminal, it's not a direct, overt message, but it's a pretty powerful message. Second was, it didn't matter what was your gender in terms of getting responsibilities. So which division you worked in, what did you do? It was pretty much gender neutral. And related to that was, you know, how you did with your work. It was recognized, again, irrespective. So if you did a great job, it was recognized. It didn't matter whether you were a woman or a man.
Sure.
The promotion opportunity which you got, it didn't matter whether you're a woman or a man. The opportunity to move. So as I told you, you know, the whole merchant banking division moved to ISEC. But there were three of us who used to work in lending mm-hmm. who got asked whether we would like to move.
Mm-hmm.
Two were guys and I was the woman. So it was a very almost gender agnostic sort of environment.
Hmm.
And this was my first working, real working environment. So I grew up in that.
Sort of
so I thought this is the norm. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And the fact that there were a lot of other women, your peers and seniors, was it a part of a conscious effort to hire women? Or is it to do with the fact that maybe compared to some of the other sectors, financial services makes it a little easier for companies to attract women into the workforce?
I think probably both.
Hmm.
So it's a relatively newer sector,
right,
to that extent. So if you think about it, TFIs were, you know, not that old. These three institutions, ICICI, IDBI, FCI, were created for helping the industry. Then investment banking was certainly new.
Hmm.
I think that's why finance has probably attracted so many. And in most industries, at entry levels, it's never a problem at the entry levels, right? At the entry levels, you're roughly hiring the same number of men and women in most industries. Not
right.
all, but in
right.
most. I think over time, how you create opportunities which are as gender agnostic or gender neutral as possible is much more important. And you're right. I think ICICI did have organized, in terms of organizational policies, they were probably way ahead of several of their peers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And again, maybe now to take a more of an individual view as you mm-hmm. reflect on your career
mm-hmm.
and clearly the growth on the professional side and on the in the personal context. Again, any headline themes that you want to leave the listeners with in terms of the mindset with which women should think about their life, which includes both career, work, career, home, and everything else? What are the few themes that have held you in good stead in the journey?
So I think the first thing which really bothers me many times is very often girls seem to make the call that you can either have a good career or you can have a good family life. And I always feel that it's not an either-or situation if you want it that way. It's certainly possible to do both. It does mean a lot of hard work. It does mean a lot of networks that you need to build. It does mean a very great partner, spouse, right? But you can do it. And so the first thing which I really get annoyed with is oftentimes girls saying, oh, but I can do only one. So I say, you know, be greedy, aim for both. And it's possible to do both. But then you can't shy away from the hard work. Mm. You cannot shy away from, you know, you should not be using that as an excuse. Mm. And the second mistake which often girls and women make is trying to do everything yourself, to be the superwoman, right, who has the perfect career, who has the best household, who has who throws the most amazing parties. I think if you try and do everything on your own, you are more likely than not to get burned. So you need to figure out what your priorities are and then just focus on them and build networks. Mm. So ask for help. Mm. I think many women find it hard to do, but I would say build your networks. Be as systematic about building your networks in your personal life as you are in your professional life, mm-hmm. right? So build a network of friends, build absolutely lean on your families, build a good network of help at home, but build your networks. Otherwise, it's going to be much harder. It is going to be hard and you have to be ready for that. And probably 10 years are really, really hard. But after that, it gets easy.
That's an interesting point, because just like you spoke about leverage on the work front, I guess it's a similar theme that can be applied on the other front as well. But sometimes people approach this as a DIY while they approach with on the work front, they see think about leverage, right?
I think people are very scared of asking for help on the personal level, I've seen. Either becomes an ego thing, right? I can do it by myself. I don't need help from my parents. I don't need help from my in-laws. Hmm. Or, you know, how can I leave my kid with a friend or whatever? I think you have to be as thorough and as systematic in building that network as you are in your organization.
And maybe you just another piece about the banking career, Vedika, is intensity.
Yeah.
Right. And just any reflections as you think back on now that you've moved on from that career, not to say what you do is less intense, but clearly banking is known for its intensity in some of the other careers. Any reflections on how you've managed to overcome, let's say, moments of crisis is the wrong term, but let's say those difficult moments that often hit you. Any two, three themes that come out?
So it is intense. Banking is intense. It does mean a lot of hours. The good news is, and if I haven't said it so far, I hope you realize it, I'm a big optimist, right? So I always... glass is certainly half full than half empty. So the good news is technology has made life much easier, right? When I started my banking career, there were no emails.
Right.
There was no internet. So you couldn't easily carry work home, right? But now you can schedule your hours around it. If you have young kids at home, you can certainly try and get back before they go to bed, spend some time with them, and then catch up on your work afterwards. So I think that's the first thing I would say is you need to be thoroughly disciplined. Mm. And you need to be almost ruthless in your discipline, right? So there are only these five things which I can make time for in my life right now. And these are the only five things I'm going to focus on.
Say no to a lot of things.
Yep. Be in the moment. So if you've decided that these are the hours I'm going to spend with my daughter or my son, then you have to be in the moment. You cannot be on the phone or you cannot be checking your email at that time. It's again goes back to the discipline theme.
Yep.
Always tackle the one job which you really don't want to first. And that's hard because I am a big one for to-do lists. And the one which I really don't want to do will continue to be on my to-do list for many days until unless I tackle it up front. And so, yeah, I mean, my only trick for handling the intensity is to compartmentalize and to be disciplined.
Two things struck me here. First is the point Vedika makes about building networks, and it's possibly as applicable for men as for women. And I find the term networking often used in a very transactional sense. But I think there's a wider point to be made here about building your balance sheet that will serve you well for the long run. One is the capabilities you build over time through the various jobs you do, the courses you enroll in, and so on. But people often forget the fact that the asset of relationships, if built in a systematic, authentic way over time, can be of significant value, and I would even go on to say that could have an exponential impact as you grow through life. I find that people are often so caught up in delivering the day-to-day P&L that they forget to take care of the long-term balance sheet building. And the gap between people who do it well and don't do it often shows up as you grow in tenure. The second piece which struck me was about solving for leverage on the home front as well. At the work front, that automatically happens as you grow and have people and teams reporting into you over time and you get the leverage. But often one has to solve for that proactively on the home front. I guess both the man and the woman in the house need to take responsibility to figure that out and problem solve that as circumstances change. But that's a key piece which often gets forgotten or deprioritized. Thank you for listening. For more, please visit playtopotential.com or look for the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and some of the other podcast apps.